Hello and welcome back to the Hulkcast and Aston Villa podcast hosted by myself, James Rushton, and Daniel Raza, as per usual. We've got a bit of an exciting one for you today because we're talking about the Leeds United match, a Leeds United versus Aston Villa match that finished 1-1, but was a lot more exciting than the scoreline suggested. Danny, have you got a quick recap for us?
Yeah, so nice to be with you, James. Always great to be recording the Hulkcast, especially after the run that we've been on. But let's tell everybody what happened. I'm sure that you guys have already seen it, but for those of you who perhaps have been living under a rock, what happened on that? was crazy, something that I've never seen before. Essentially, what happened was Leeds United scored a goal seconds after pretending to put the ball out for an injured John Codger. The Aston Villa players had stopped, the Leeds United players had stopped, and what resulted from that was something fairly unsportsmanlike. So after they'd scored this goal, there was a massive brawl, essentially, which involved Conor Hourihan, that involved Clich, but most importantly, or I think one thing that Villa fans are probably going to remember most there was Patrick Bamford simulating being hit by Anwar El Ghazi, resulting in him getting sent off, and then after that, the moment really which has gone viral, the moment which has been spread online by football fans everywhere, is one of those crazy moments in football, was Marcelo Bielsa ordering his Leeds United players to allow Aston Villa to score a goal, one which was just incredibly weird to watch. Albert Adoma just being let through on goal by the Leeds United players, apart from Pontus Janssen, who did try a late challenge.
There's a lot to speak about in this match, but for as eventful as it was, the first half wasn't crazy, was it? I mean, what we have to speak about in the first half is a few missed chances, but also mainly Jack Grealish. He didn't do a hell of a lot, but I mean, Leeds United fans have been going crazy because the first half, pretty much the highlight reel, the first half is like a Jack Grealish foul compilation, you know, or, you know, if you're a Leeds fan, a diving compilation. But I wanted to hear from you, Danny. I've got my own personal thoughts on it, but the Jack Grealish things in the incidents in the first half, is it a matter of people going in too hard of him, or is he a soft touch? Is he going down too easily?
He's not going down too easily. I think what happens is that he's very good at skipping past players, and very often opposition defenders get frustrated and feel that the only thing they can do is kind of clip him. Or I think the other thing is, they might well intend to tackle him cleanly, but because his legs are so tricky, they end up catching him instead. What was clear to me was that Leeds United were very frustrated in that first half. I mean, to some degree, they had more of the ball. I'm not sure whether they did, but it seemed that way. They seemed like they had more meaningful possession. But whenever Villa did get the ball, Leeds United were really trying everything to get the ball back. I'm not saying they went out to intentionally foul Jack Grealish or intentionally foul Aston Villa players, but there was a point in that first half where Marcelo Bielsa and the Leeds United fans were very upset with the referee because of the amount of fouls that were being given to Villa. But that was all down to very poorly timed challenges, and a lot of them. Bielsa, of course, getting booked for complaining about it.
It was a bit odd how they reacted, but I guess we come to expect that now. Whenever Jack Grealish plays, people seem to think on the opposition team that it goes down too easily. And I think I'd like to highlight the one incident. I think when Calvin Phillips comes from behind and he's trying to, you know, marshal Jack Grealish back into his own half, that one was probably that's probably the closest to a quote unquote dive we saw all match, because it was a bit of a non-incident for me. I think, I don't know.
Yeah, but
I really don't know with that one.
I think with Grealish, it came to a point where, like, clearly, you know, clearly he was getting targeted. And if you're gonna get fouled like that so often, and not have anything done to the players who are fouling you, I don't think there's anything wrong with taking the foul, and just making it a little bit more obvious to the referee that it's not diving, it's not even simulation, it's just making the most of it. And I think the more that you do that to Jack Grealish during a game, I mean, the more likely it is that he's gonna go, you know what, you know, need to alert the referee here.
There you have it. I think if you're fed up of Jack Grealish falling over, maybe you stop kicking him. Maybe. Liam Cooper is an interesting one because his challenge on Jack Grealish was one rewarded with a yellow card. Initially, it looked fairly innocuous, but on closer viewing, it really was a dangerous challenge. What do you make of that? Because Leeds United fans, and even some Villa fans, even myself in the first half, before seeing a replay, I was like, why has he got a booking for that? He won the ball. I think it's more so the momentum. I mean, Liam Cooper comes in with a sliding tackle. He does leave the ground as well. He's not fully on the ground, so he does leave the ground, which is usually a straight red. But he does win the ball. He goes completely through Jack Grealish and takes a bit of a, you know, he takes a lump out of him as well.
That's the one where it comes down into his ankle, right?
Yes, the one, yeah. So if you haven't seen the video of it, there's at least a picture on Jack Grealish's Twitter feed where it's the freeze frame of the moment the connection's made, and Jack Grealish's his legs are crumpled under. It's quite alarming to see. It's quite almost disgusting. Of course, Grealish unharmed as far as we know, but Liam Cooper picked up the yellow. And at the time, I was thinking, why has he picked up a yellow? But looking after, that's a very perfect orange card tackle, sin bin tackle, isn't it?
It's very dangerous. It's very any time you target someone's ankle and make it go somewhere it's not supposed to, it's very dangerous, and it can leave somebody sidelined for a long time. I think I remember a Leeds United fan on Twitter replying to Jack Grealish's post there with a frame shame, a screenshot of Liam Cooper basically winning the ball. Now Cooper does win the ball. He comes in and he gets the ball because he's first to it. That's fine. But then it's the follow-through, which does not need to go through Jack Grealish's ankle. I think that's where you have to look at it. And also, you know, if you're going to slide in like that, try to make sure, you know, there's not somebody parallel to you, essentially. It was just a bit of a weird challenge. That's all. I don't know if there was intent to it, but it was certainly dangerous.
I think what it comes down to is the fact that the players, you know, aggressively won the ball in a manner where you play the man as well. It has to be just about the ball. Unfortunately, you know, a lot of people saying, what has football come to? You can't do this, you can't do that. But it's all about winning the ball and not playing the man, because a lot of the softer challenges on Grealish, it was because the man was getting played. There was no interest in getting the ball. It was getting the ball through the man. You know, they're coming from the side, chopping in, doing, you know, that lethal, one of the lethal tackles in there. I think when Grealish was breaking into the corner of the box later on in the half, it was quite incredible to see. And I understand the frustration, because when you're at the, you know, your Leeds fans are obviously kicking off at the stadium, because you don't get all the angles that we are, you know, blessed as we are to watch TV, get all the angles. So it looks like a player's going down easily, but on closer inspection, they're just playing the man. They're just playing the man, and Calvin Phillips was guilty of that. Liam Cooper definitely guilty of that. And I think Jack Grealish did go down really easily on a number of occasions, one especially when Phillips was chasing him and he just got frustrated and kind of fell to the floor. Diving? I'm not certain it's diving, because Jack Grealish is the most fouled player in a championship because he plays at a different speed to everyone. He's playing on a different wavelength. And also, he hasn't got booked for diving this season. And I mean, call him a diver, he hasn't been punished for it or even caught doing it.
I think Grealish as well, you've got to look at the kind of guy that he is. He loves getting back at teams, doesn't he? He loves getting back at players. He tweets after games as well, you know, for a little bit of revenge every now and then. And I'm sorry, but if you're gonna keep fouling a guy, he's gonna eat it up. I mean, the more often that you foul somebody, the more likely it is that you're gonna give away a free kick. I mean, it's as simple as that. You know, so if you're gonna do that. If you're going to do that numerous times during the match, if you're going to target him numerous times during the match, I'm sorry, but he's going to win a few free kicks. And I think that's what makes him look worse than he is. And I don't think there was anything there during that whole game which categorically screamed diving to me. I just thought that, you know, the match pretty much descended into something that was very unsportsmanlike. Leeds came in there wanting to obviously get into the automatic playoffs. Automatic promotion place. And I did think there was moments where the players just stopped thinking about sportsmanship for a moment.
I think, you know, humans are creatures of habit. If Jack Grealish is going down repetitively, the referee's going to notice it more. You know, the referee's going to zone in on Jack Grealish getting kicked, because it's something that happens so often. And obviously he's going to be able to zone in on that stuff. It happens more often than any other player. And I think he did shoot out while the referee on the day did miss a number of key events, including Patrick Bamford being held back by Tuan Zabi. Then Tuan Zabi was brought to the ground and the foul was given. That's what Bielsa eventually got a yellow card for quote unquote encroaching his technical area. What I think happened was he put his hands on the fourth official to try and demand some action be taken. Fair play, because I think the referee in that first half didn't seem to, you know, benefit both teams. And I mean, you may say that as that's perfectly neutral, but he seems to just miss these weird like little incidents, these kicking outs.
I think all in all, the referee did a very good job, because there was just so much going on during that whole game that he was going to miss some of it. I think the worst decision from the whole game ended up coming from his linesman or his assistant, one of his assistants anyway. That was obviously the sending off of Anwar El Ghazi, but it was just one of the. I don't think I remember seeing a game in the recent past with Villa where there was so many sort of fouls and so many incidents. That match never got going. There wasn't a lot of open play in it whatsoever.
It was really bitty, and I think the awful Sky commentators, I think it was Don Goodman, someone else.
Oh, it was weird, wasn't it?
They were bad, weren't they? I think, was it you who messaged me saying they're really biased? Because I think I did get a few messages saying they were really, what the hell is going on here?
I don't want to accuse anybody of bias. I think that's unfair. It just seemed like they were siding with Leeds over every challenge. That's all it was. And it felt that way listening to it. I'm thinking, hang on a minute. Right, I'm sat here. You know, waiting for the playoffs to happen, thinking, seriously, there is a big chance Jack Grealish gets injured here. They are Leeds were very rough.
Yeah, I think what surprised me most actually was all season they've had the reputation and they've played really good football. And I'm not saying they didn't play good football, but there was a very deliberate attempt to play the man. Sometimes in that match, like there was a kind of a rough side or a violence that we haven't seen. And I applaud Leeds for what they've done all season, but there a different edge came out in that match. And maybe it is the frustration of missing out on automatics. And maybe it is the frustration of a man seemingly falling down whenever they touch him. But there was a different side to him. And I think I really want to come on to a series of events now. Let's skip ahead to that mad 10 minutes, we'll call it, because the first thing that happens in that mad 10 minutes is Conor Hourihan, Al Mohammadi, Andre Green are linking down the right side, and Andre Green runs for the ball. He wins a 50-50 challenge. They both kick the ball, so I think it's Forshaw on the lead side and Andre Green run for the ball. They both kick it. Their knees connect. It looked really nasty, actually. I'm surprised both of them didn't go down. Andre Green carries on. Forshaw's on the ground, you know, rolling around in a bit of clear discomfort. And Leeds kind of force Villa to kind of kick the ball out, slowly encroaching. Villa could have still attacked. Like when Leeds went to ask them to kick the ball out, Andre Green was wide open. Conor Hourihan could have easily backheeled it to him and Villa have a free shot on goal. They didn't. They kicked the ball out. Now, a few minutes later from that, Jonathan Codger misses a challenge and he looks like he twists his ankle. He goes off. He's injured. He's completely injured. He's lying down on the ground. Leeds continue to attack down the left-hand side of the pitch. Tyler Roberts gets the ball. He motions to kick it out, which means not only do Villa stop playing, the referee and the linesman stop. Then he kicks through and puts Matthias Klich through on goal. He cuts in and scores. The whole Villa team has stopped playing. Klich is in an offside position. The linesman's not spotted it because he's miles behind play because he stopped like everyone else. That was crazy. I've never been so angry in a football match. And it's funny because I picked up the stool. I was like, I'm going to put the stool through the TV. And I was holding the stool in there. I was like, why am I going to do this? Why am I doing this? But it was infuriating. It was like, why have they done that?
Like, I wasn't even, I think anger's, I don't think anger's the word. Because to me, as a Villa fan, I'm thinking, right, this game, the only thing that this can do for us is extend our winning streak or just give us a little bit of momentum heading into the playoffs. There's no real meaning to it, right? There's not an amazing amount at stake. So to watch that, I think I just screwed my face and was just like, that's just very disappointing. I mean, here is a team which, you know, wants to pride itself on, you know, being a great championship club that is, you know, on this revival and can finally bring something to its fans. And, you know, after many years, basically, suffering. And they go ahead and do something as despicable as that. That's just I was just shaking my head, really. I mean, it's interesting to hear that you picked up a stool and tried to bash it.
Yeah, I think Villa should have played to the whistle. I don't know why they stopped playing, because Leeds had the ball, and as far as I could see, until they motioned to pull it out, there was no intention of stopping. Villa should have played on, and they froze and they got caught out. I think what you do is you play on. You play on until the ball's out. It's in. It's in play. It's alive. Until the ball's kicked out of play, it's alive. It's obvious. And Villa got found out because they didn't play to the whistle. But I think they were expecting that favour to be returned. Villa kicked the ball out when the Leeds player was down. The Leeds player got up and was fine. Leeds kicked the ball out when Codger actually went off. A lot of people were saying he wasn't injured. He went off injured. He was taken off in some discomfort and he's not playing. He's gone. He's probably gone for the season. Who knows? But he was injured and went off. And Leeds continued to play the ball. They score. And the crowd went wild. The crowd were, you know, it was crazy. And then John Terry and Dean Smith kick off on the bench. Bielsa reacts. He asks his team, allow Villa to score. And I don't know if the message got through to Pontus Janssen, because Pontus Janssen tried to stop Villa scoring. He had a free run. Albert Adoma kicks off. Neil Taylor's there as well. And this is weird. I think Neil Taylor wanted to get his first Villa goal really badly.
Oh, did he?
But then...
That wouldn't
then
have been
again,
right. It wouldn't have been the right way for him.
But then again, you have to think Neil Taylor is Villa's only left-sided attacking player at this point, because we haven't mentioned Al Ghazi got sent off and there's no striker. So Villa are playing with 9 men. There's no left-sided player apart from Neil Taylor. So he has to take the kickoff. And a lot of people have said he wanted to score his first Villa goal. And I think that was a perfect opportunity, because he has every right to, because he's the most forward player apart from Adoma. So I don't know what happened there, but Adoma runs through. Pontus Janssen tries to stop him. And a lot of people have said that was disgusting from Janssen. But that's a player who doesn't want to give up on automatic promotion, no matter what. And I know a lot of people say sportsmanship. Like, he doesn't want to lose. And a lot of people rate footballers for not wanting to lose. He doesn't want to lose in any circumstance. That's a competitive player. And a lot of people call him dirty. That's Pontus Janssen for you. And I think if he was on our team, we'd appreciate it. But less said about that, the better. Adoma scores a free goal, open net. 1-1. I want to talk about Villa's goal, because it's pointless speaking about it. I want to go back to the Anwar El Ghazi incident. After Matthias Klich scored, there was a melee. Conor Hourihan ran up and started grabbing people's necks and throwing fists. He got put to the floor. Anwar El Ghazi is kind of tussling with Patrick Bamford. He turns around and Bamford falls to the floor holding his head. Bamford has now been, he's facing a 2-match ban for this action now.
Yeah, it's been reported.
El Ghazi was actually sent off. And the reason he was sent off is because the linesman sprinted to the referee and suggested that an elbow was made and said that there should be a red card because Anwar El Ghazi has elbowed Patrick Bamford. He didn't see this incident. There's no way he could have seen this incident, because if he did, he'd have seen Bamford fake it. He didn't see it. And Bamford has been done now for deceiving a match official. I kind of disagree with that, because in the heat of the moment, you do stupid things. The linesman's job is to officiate the match, not to come in and be the star of it. He sprinted across the match to say, there's definitely been an elbow here, mate.
Yeah, he's been...
There wasn't an elbow, though, was it? How can he say there's definitely been an elbow? Bamford has been punished. But the FA need to look at this and go, why is a linesman running to declare a verdict when he's not even seen the incident?
That's a guy...
Regardless of what Bamford's done. I don't care.
That's a guy who's basically gotten caught up in the moment, thinking, right, this is special. You know, this is something that I've never been a part of before, and basically thinking, right, I need to slap my sticker on this. That's what it was, wasn't it? I need to stamp my authority on this situation. I mean, he might have thought he'd seen something, but I think even the referee, people analyze everything. People reviewing the footage say that the referee almost sort of shook his head in a way to suggest, I'm not quite sure, mate, before sending him off. And I just thought that, I think in the middle of all that, when you've got all these players brawling as well, I don't know if, you know, it would have been right to send anybody off. I mean, if anything, you send off perhaps Conor Hourihan.
You send Conor Hourihan. You send him straight off the pitch because he had his hands around people's necks, and he did end up on his arse, to be fair, which is punishment enough. It's embarrassing enough to be, you know, get chucked down on the ground. But he was furious, throwing fists.
But one thing I will say about Conor Hourihan is that he will not stand for anything. And, you know, in the same way that you say Pontus Janssen, you know, that's a player standing up for his team and, you know, not wanting to give up on automatic promotion. Conor Hourihan, I mean, he was, you remember, he was the first guy in to defend Jack Grealish when the Birmingham City fan attacked him. And I think for Conor Hourihan in that moment as well, in that moment in time, is thinking, hang on a minute, Klich, right? You don't just do that. He's basically, if he hasn't kicked off there, I'm not sure if there's enough of a furor that Bielsa ends up basically telling his Leeds team to let that goal in. I mean, Hourihan was a big part of that protest there, and he's jumped in, and fair play to him for sticking up for Villa. And I don't think it's necessarily a case of him being violent there. That's a case of straight up, like, you know, man to man, asking, what are you doing?
Respect that. Completely respect that. And Conor Hourihan, he's done that a few times this season for Villa. As you mentioned, the Blues match. There was also the drop ball incident in the Hull match where he's went and kicked off, I think it was Marcus Henriksen on the Hull side, that he kicked off at completely overtaking the drop ball early. So he's always quite fiery. That's an underrated aspect of his game. So fair play to sticking up. But I think if there's any player being sent off on Villa's side, it's him. And let's go back, going back to that linesman, and there's a lot of hate being directed at Patrick Bamford. And yeah, he's diving, he's made an idiot of himself, he's done this, he's done that, he's been charged with deception of a match official. But I, for the life of me, the man to blame is the linesman. Patrick Bamford's not the one asking for the red card. Yeah, he has created a scene. Yeah, he's done this, he's done that. The linesman's went across and said, there's definitely been an elbow, you have to send him off.
If he
wasn't sure.
He knows how it works, though. Come on. I mean, Patrick Bamford knows if he goes down there, it looks bad. He's gone down holding his face. You see players do this quite often.
But you don't see the other player getting sent off?
I mean, you do. It does happen.
In certain instances, but this one is very clearly, there has very clearly been no contact.
I think it all got a bit ridiculous, though, didn't it? As soon as Leeds basically put that ball through, the match descended into chaos. And I think what we saw there was a lot of immaturity amongst men on that pitch.
Yeah, you call them, you know, they did. I think both teams really went quite childish, didn't they? And both benches, you know, to be fair to them, went quite childish.
Well, Terry was screaming at Bielsa as well, wasn't he, at the after?
Which, yeah, everyone's missed out on that. He was right up there, first man up there. Bet my life on it, it's Milo Jedinak, who actually come on to replace the injured Jonathan Codger as a striker because Villa had no options. They had nothing left to do.
Yeah, I saw somebody tweet that, it's been a weird game when Jedinak playing up front isn't even mentioned as a talking
point. Yeah, no one cared because Villa had no, they could only make one more substitution. And you wouldn't bring on an attacking player just in case you needed more defensive options. So the only thing you could do is bring on Milly Ed and I can go, can you be a striker?
I mean, we knew we weren't going to win the game from that point. And it was constant fury from Leeds United. I think it's a good way to segue into that. But those last 10 minutes were constant from Leeds. Absolutely constant. And I'll tell you what, right, after El Ghazi got sent off, if Leeds United had scored in that game, it absolutely would not have. I don't think it would have gone down as like a major victory for them. They'd have celebrated it, but I think from a Villa fan's point of view, it would have just been like, you've stolen it. Fair enough. I think for Villa though, you know, getting that draw after that furor was basically just, yeah, I think it was a very, very good result in the end of it. I think this is where we saw our defensive capabilities come to life.
They were massive, mate. They were absolutely massive. Villa's defence in that match is probably the best game they've played all season, bar none. I think two incidents I'd like to shout out. One is Tyrone Mings blocking it off the line. Next is Jed Steer, who was injured, and he looked in severe pain and was signalling to come off. He needed to come off. And Villa said, we've got no substitutions. If you come off, we're down. So you can come off and give the gloves to someone else. Do it. It's fine. Jed Steer stood up, then made a massive body-shaking save. That ball was hit so hard at him. And he stands up and he balances and he saves it with what appeared to be a twisted ankle.
It's weird.
He was in massive pain.
Yeah, that was pure adrenaline. That was
Fair play to him because, you know, the situation is here. He might not be, you know, if the ankle injury is bad, I don't think we've heard any more on it, but like the chances are you could miss the playoffs. It's only a month away.
Could he get kicked?
If you've twisted your ankle.
There was one shot in that game where Matija Sarkic looked like he had a proper smile on his face.
He wants to play so bad. But I think, like, lucky to him, you know, he wouldn't be even on the bench because look, you got Kalinic, you had Neuland, you had Jed Steer. Sarkic is on the bench and he's raring to go now.
You've
so,
forgotten Moreira.
You know, if he has to stay. Moreira's gone, yeah. I think we all forgot Moreira. He's going to be arse. He's gone, mate. But Jed Steer, you know, full credit to him because Villa lose that match if it's not for two people. Tyler and Mings and Jed Steer absolutely saved that game because Leeds were really, really motivated to score after giving one back to Villa. And fair play to Bielsa for giving one back. Has to be said because he didn't have to. A lot of people saying, yeah, he had to. No, he didn't. He absolutely did not have to do it. Even if John Terry is in his face and Dean Smith is in his face, he didn't. It's his team that has done that.
Yeah, but there's a bit of ego in that, though, isn't there, as well? I'm not saying that Bielsa's got a big ego, but if he doesn't let Villa score that, he doesn't look good, does he?
Yeah, I think there's a lot to lose there from him, and I will say that there has been times where he's been like victimized, like the Spygate stuff. People saying that doesn't happen in this country, you know, you have to play fair. There's a big example of him playing fair there. Massive example. So he's either this this weirdo foreign cheater, or he's a really sporting person. And I think, you know, he just loves the game. He wants it to be fair and equal. And I think it was the only option he could do at that time.
And you have to remember, he doesn't have to be at Leeds either. You know, that job that he's taken at Leeds, he didn't have to take that. He doesn't need to be managing in the Championship. You know, he's here to basically prove he can do it in a way, and he's not going to let his reputation suffer for it.
Yeah, I think it was the right thing for him to do, whether it was fair or not. I think it's a weird conversation. I think he was presented with the option and he chose the only one he could choose because he's Marcelo Bielsa. It was only going to end one way. Leeds kicked on after that. Villa held strong thanks to Tyra Mings and Jed Steer. Let's end the conversation about the Leeds United match there. I want your match ball. The player who impressed you the most?
I'm going to go with... Oh, gosh, there's two guys I could go with. Right. The second guy, the other guy who I was considering giving it to, it would have only been for the last 10 minutes. Whereas I think for me, I'm going to give the match ball, my first match ball to Jack Grealish, because I think he stole the show in that game. You know, he could have done more, perhaps, and he perhaps would have done if he wasn't fouled out for the whole game. But I think he's the player, really, ultimately, who caused Leeds United to absolutely lose it and thus not keep any hope of getting promoted automatically.
They didn't know where they were because Grealish was just... Like, he didn't even have a good game, but he's the player who's been talked about after that. No other players getting talked about like Jack Grealish after that match. And fair play to him. I think it was a rough game for him. He tried well. He was stopped. Leeds did stop him, but it took a lot out of him to do so. So I think that's a great shout. My match ball, mate, I'm going to give it to Tyrone Mings. Because for the first, you know, there's a bit in the first half where he tried to dribble from the back to the front.
Yeah.
And he almost got away with it. He almost got away with it. And Twanzebe tried to do the same thing. So whether that's a tactic or not, I don't know. But they both worked well in all stages of the game. Mings up front, in the box, in midfield, down the wing, down the flank, at the back, heading away. He did a lot. Main thing for me, he blocked the ball off the line and he's always looked so solid for Villa. He won't be bullied. He loves being here. He's a lovely person when he's not stepping on people's heads.
Yeah, he saved us there.
He saved us there and he's, you know, I'd love to call him a villain. I really want him, you know, I think we'll be all upset if Jack Grealish goes, regardless of whether we get promoted or not. I'd be really upset if we don't get Tyron Mings, really upset. So he's getting my match ball.
I think the third one, I think we have to continue with defensive heroics here. I think we should go for Jed Steer because...
Yes, I knew you was going to say it. Yeah, I wanted you to say Jed Steer because he's a fucking boss.
You described it better than I
Sorry, could've. I should say he has blocked 7,500 to hold onto it and I don't know why. So if you know Jed Steer, I've seen him on the train a few times, actually. I've seen him on the train when he wasn't playing for Villa when he was injured and, you know, he's not been on the bench. I've seen him on the train across City Line from Birmingham New Street to Sutton. And I thought, should I ask him to unblock him? Should I do that? But he's blocked the account from before I was running it. It's been a long time going. You know, he's been here for ages. It was way before. I took charge of the account, so it's not my fault.
Right, okay.
But he has blocked the account.
So we haven't said anything.
And I searched what the account said for him to be for him to block us, and I can't actually find anything. Like, that's really bad. I think Jed Steers let one in. What's he done? Not there, like we'd say about any keeper. But there's just been like loads of praise for him. So maybe he's been praised too much by the account. I don't know. He's blocked us, but I'll give him the match ball anyway.
Man's just blocking everything. That's why he's so good. That's why he's in. And I think like he did that on an injured leg as well for the last 10 minutes. He was like Leonardo DiCaprio in The Revenant. I don't know how he managed to stop the ball from Leeds United. Right, fair play to them. They will stop at nothing to score. And even though we were down to 10 men, they were absolutely hammering us. They were absolutely hammering us. They should have scored, but like, I don't know how we escaped that. And I think, yeah, Jed Steer just walking about, hopping about on that leg the last 3 minutes almost gave me a heart attack.
Yeah, I mean, if you could tell Jed Steer to unblock us on Twitter, I think we'd appreciate that, because I keep forgetting his handle and like to go, oh, well done, Jed Steer. I can't because he's blocked us, and I just feel completely ashamed that this situation's happened. But no, I think that's enough about the Leeds match, mate. We do need to glance over the minor fact. We do need to talk about the minor fact that Villa actually won 10 games in a row. We haven't talked about the Millwall match. We're not going to speak about the Millwall match. I need to get your man of the match from that one. But mate, we won 10 games in a row. We're 12 games unbeaten. We didn't lose to Leeds. We didn't lose to Stoke. Then we smashed every team in between. Incredible.
Yeah, no, it's been an incredible run. I don't know how we've managed it. But like we also have looked pretty dominant in every game that we've been in. We genuinely have walked into all of these games looking like we were going to win. And funnily enough, right, the team that gave us the biggest scare was Rotherham United. That was apart from Leeds at the end there, Rotherham were the one team which worried me, and that's because we were down to 10 men, and we were 1-0 down at halftime. But other than that, yeah, we've been comfortable.
Villa have done really well to win 10 games in a row, and they were all, you know, there was a few easy ones. Like Derby, we smashed Derby to pieces. I don't know how we managed that. We got away with one there. Then we smashed Bristol. Can't believe we did that. You know, we just walked off. There was a lot going in. We didn't have Grealish, and we walked over them. And the scoreline doesn't really reflect how much we battered them. We battered Blackburn and Millwall, and they come away with a really low scoreline as well. So 10 games winning in a row is a massive achievement, regardless of the league. So don't take that away from Villa, please, if you're listening. Do not take away the fact that you have seen your team win 10 games in a row. WWW, you know, all of them. 10 Ws. Easy peasy. They didn't even make it look hard.
No, they didn't. I think Championship fans, I think just teams, fans from other teams have been saying every single week that they expect Villa to win. And it's been like that. I think even Leeds United, I mean, they walked into that game basically acting, I mean, knowing how hard we were going to be. And I think I like feeling like that team that everybody wants to beat again, because now we're at a point where like we can back it up. And I think you're right. You know, it doesn't matter if it's a championship or not. This is a team which has been, you know, it's been through the wars for the last couple of years. You know, it's taken us ages to get a team that works together like this. You know, this isn't a team of expensive players, like, you know, like everybody likes to make out. And I think for them, it is a massive achievement to keep that going, because I don't care who you are, I don't care what league you're in. The mental strength that you need to constantly put teams away like that, especially when they want to try extra hard to beat you, yeah, it's something special.
So without any further ado, mate, Villa played Millwall on Easter Monday. We're not going to talk about the match, but I do need, for end of season awards purposes, future award a match ball for the Millwall game.
See, Millwall was a bit of a rough match, wasn't it?
Yeah, it was. Villa had loads of chances, and Millwall had some good, you know, some good opportunities, but they weren't getting past Mings and Steer. But it was, you know, I thought Villa would have a bit more of a commanding scoreline. They did play exceptionally well. I think there was a lot of defensive authority displayed there, and I don't know what more you can say. They played really well. Villa weren't hassled.
I'm trying my hardest to remember what actually happened during this whole game. I'm not going to lie. I'm going to give Jonathan Codger the first match ball because he scored a really weird finish where he basically just managed to tap it, and it, I don't know how that went in, but he managed to direct it in. And I think any time Jonathan Codger scores nowadays, I just think fair play to him, because I think with him, it's he doesn't manage to get a lot of game time. You can't, for him to find consistency, for him to be scoring the goals that he is right now, I think it's impressive purely because you know, he's not getting the 90 minutes that Tammy Abraham does these days. So I'm going to give my first one to Jonathan Codger.
I was thinking about this when I was walking to record. I was thinking, who am I going to give the match ball to? I thought instantly, for some reason, I thought Tammy Abraham, and then I was like, he didn't play. What would I even think that? And I've just been having this nightmare of saying Tammy Abrams gets my match ball for doing this and that. I was thinking, James, please don't say Tammy Abraham gets the match ball. Please don't say that. But I'm going to give mine to Mile Jedinak.
Oh, good shout. Good shout.
Because, my God, that bloke come in. He's been off all season. That man is a centre-back. A lot of people are saying he can't adapt to it. I mean, I think we said it earlier in the season.
I said that, it, yeah.
Man, that man is a centre-back, a hell of a centre-back as well. It's a shame that they've kind of just, well, Steve Bruce went, yeah, you're a centre-back now. That guy should have been developed there for time. He should have been the centre-back from 7 years ago. He's a centre-back. He's class. He's come in for Villa and he's performed well.
Why do you think he's performing so much better as a centre-back under Smith than he was under Steve Bruce? Because there was times when he was getting absolutely skinned there.
Because he wants to play the ball. He wants to play the ball with his head and with his feet, and he wants to play it on the floor as well. And he wants to make killer passes from the back. He does this. Tyrone Mings does it. They both look to make the killer pass right down the flank to a on-rushing wing. And you say that might be long ball. I'm saying good pass is a good pass. Good pass is a good pass. And I think under Bruce, they were expected not to look for the pass, just to belt it. And that is just dangerous. You know, when you're not looking, when you're off balance and you're kicking it out, all sorts of things can happen. Villa's defence under Dean Smith are really, they're calm. They're happy to concede shots. They're happy to just manage a situation and not force anything. If a goal's going in, you know, it's almost like, oh, we deserved it. It's not like they won't try. But you know what I mean? It's not like there's...
Yeah, they're not under constant pressure either.
They're not losing their heads. If a goal goes in, they know we can help make it back. It's not like they sit around going, oh my God, we've just lost the lead. A defence under Dean Smith is part of the attack rather than the last gasp defence.
Yeah. I mean, it's not unheard of that the centre-backs will be, you know, very close up to the halfway line when Villa are on the attack. I mean, it applies more pressure to the opposition. Just the quality of the press is so much better. They're not under constant pressure. I think that's what I think a lot of the time earlier on in the season, we found that our centre backs were just being rushed by forwards and they were constantly jockeying, constantly backing up. I don't feel like they have to do that anymore. And I think fair play to Tyrone Mings for being such a great leader. I feel bad for James Chester at the moment. But look, every single centre-back which has been paired up alongside Mings for the last few weeks has been something else. That includes Courtney Howes.
Final match ball for Millwall. I'd like to make a suggestion, and it's really hard for me to pick it between these players.
Mm-hmm.
But I was thinking either Glenn Whelan or Anwar El Ghazi.
I'd go El Ghazi.
He's been class, mate, for the last few months. I think you look at him and you just think a player that's grown in confidence, that loves taking on players, that loves just messing around, experimenting and trying to find what works for him. And when it comes off, sometimes it doesn't, and sometimes he's lacking, but when it comes off, he just looks like a genius.
He's got his positioning on point. Yeah, he always knows where to be to make that perfect pass. I say to make that perfect pass rather than, you know, the positioning of a forward where, you know, they've got to know where to tap it in. El Ghazi, he reads John McGinn and Jack Grealish so well, doesn't he? And I think he managed to find his way around a defender in free space. And I think another good thing about El Ghazi, you know, that we have lacked from wingers over the last over the last season or so. No offense to Albert Adoma, but is pinpoint accuracy and actually having a very good delivery. And he did that for the goal as well. And I just think that, yeah, Elghazi is quietly becoming a real danger player that teams forget about when they know they have to focus on Jack Grealish.
Of course, his red card has been rescinded as well for the playoffs. So thank God we won't be missing someone who's really become an important player for Aston Villa. But final thing I want to speak about is Norwich. We're not going to preview this match because it's dead for Villa. Villa got nothing to play for in this match. So I don't really want to speak about the opposition too much. But I did want to ask a few questions, because if Villa beat Norwich in this match, there's a chance Sheffield United could win the title on the last day of the season.
Yeah, we should spoil the Norwich party.
I'm thinking, regardless of wanting to spoil a party or not, Sheffield United need to win to take the title, and Norwich need to lose. Villa, so that means Villa need to beat Norwich, basically. Who would you rather win the title at, Norwich City and Sheffield United?
Oh, that's biased, man. That's... Okay, I will say that I think Norwich have been at the top, you know, all season, and they've had numerous times they've gone up to the Premier League and come back down again. And I know this is a very different Norwich team. They play very good football. I think they're masters of the press, absolutely, under Daniel Farke. And they have had a good season. But having said that, Norwich have taken their eye off the ball for the last few weeks or so. And they've had a lot of draws. And because of that, I think it might be very exciting to see Sheffield United steal it from under their noses. It would be.
Villa have got a reputation for this, actually, haven't they? I remember Brighton a few years ago. We stole that their title away from them and give it to Newcastle on the last day of the season.
I do remember again. That, yeah. Yeah.
Had the ribbons out, ready to go, everything. They had it all out.
I mean, I just think it would be fun to see Sheffield United back in the Premier League, because they're another team who haven't been there for years. But also, they're not a minnow, so to speak, who you think, yeah, they'll be straight back down. You could see Sheffield United surviving.
They could punch up. They've got a great room to punch up. And if they go down, it's not like they'll be disappointed. And this is a thing, man. Relegation is nothing to fear. Like, unless you've massively cocked up your finances, don't go down crying. Go down ready to get to smack some teams about next season. Sheffield United come down stronger, and then I'll go back up. But I think they've achieved massively, and I want them to win the title. Not because I don't like Norwich. Like, if Norwich win, I'm happy. Like, they deserve it, man. They've been playing really well all season. They took their off the ball the last few days. But forget that. Sheffield United have got the best song in football. They've got the best damn song. Every time they kick off, they play any song by John Denver, which I've translated into a song called Greasy Chip Butty, and it actually brings me to tears. It's you got to watch it on YouTube, mate. It's awe-inspiring, that song is, and I wish Villa had something like that.
Is it any good, or is this some Caucasian humour?
No, it's beautiful. It's not funny. It's like there's such pride in it. And it belts out, but man, it's brilliant. And I think last thing I want to speak about Norwich, who do you want to see start? Who is the one person you really want to see get some game time?
Ender Stevens.
For Villa.
Oh, sorry, for Villa. I thought we were talking about Sheffield United.
For Villa,
no,
versus
I'm
Norwich.
I'm messing. Right, I think for me, I want to see Keenan Davis play up front. Because he has to. Because if Tammy Abraham or Jonathan Codger aren't fit in time, I love you, Mile Jedinak. I don't want to see him starting up front for our playoff campaign. No. Let's come on. Don't take away a good thing, a possible good thing. But I don't want to see him start in the playoffs. I think that's the only thing. So for me, Keenan Davis is the one guy that I want to see playing against Norwich City. The one guy who I definitely don't want to be seeing playing against Norwich City is John McGinn. What about you?
I think, I want to see Sarkic get some game time. I've really rated him in under 23 games, and I just want to see him get a match for Villa, because it's really rare. Like your, fourth short keeper even, get some game time. Because I think he'd even be behind Mark Bunn at some point. You know, if Jed Steer was injured. Sarkic wouldn't be starting. I'd surely put Bunn in. But I really think that it'd be cool to see him get some game time. Lansbury, Bjarnason can come in. So yeah, let's finish on your prediction, mate, for Aston Villa versus Norwich, last league game of the season before the playoffs.
Shall I be honest?
Yep.
Okay. Don't call me a negative Nancy. Right? But I think Norwich are going to go in there knowing that they have to, you know, get some points to win the title, right? That's not the reason I think we'll lose. I think what we're going to end up doing is perhaps throwing in a lot of young players, which we should do, or throwing in a lot of backup players, and I think we're going to get battered.
I don't think so. I think because Villa can't rotate that much because it'll break the league rule where you have to have 10 from the game sheet, so you'd have to play your whole sub bench.
Oh, really?
There can only be a few young players because when you think about it, you've loaned out most of them.
Okay, I'm going to throw in a safety then. I'm going to throw in a safety to all. Everybody's happy. Norwich win the title.
1-1. Norwich win the title. Villa go into the playoffs with hopefully some momentum. I don't think Villa lose it. I really don't think Villa want to lose it either. And I don't think they'll sell or rotate massively. They'll still want to go out and win. And I think you might even see Jack Grealish start, for God's sake. It's just a fair game. I think Norwich won't go out to batter players. They'll just want to win fair and square. So I think we'll see a really good footballing contest. And maybe not the massive rotation we've come to expect.
No, true, true. I think the other thing about Norwich is as well that, you know, them versus Villa, it will just be super fun. It is two teams who love to press. Neil Taylor's going to have his work cut out for him. Absolutely going to have his work cut out for him, you know, up against Buendia. And let's not forget Onel Hernandez as well, who's been something of a revelation at Norwich too. They have got a very good team.
Fair play to them. They've been doing well all season, mate.
Yeah. And I think they'll do well in the Premier League too, if they can keep it together, and if they can replace some of their defenders, I think, heading into it. But against us, yeah, it should be interesting. We have to put out a quick shout out, a quick mention. We don't have to analyze these guys' seasons because we all know how good they've been to us. But Tammy Abraham and Jack Grealish made the team of the season, didn't they?
Yeah, so massive plaudits for that. Well deserved, I think. And there's more to come from them. We've still got a few games left with Tammy Abraham and Jack Grealish, at least. We'll see what happens next season, but let's enjoy it. Let's win these playoffs for once. Let's get up there, go to Wembley and win. And if we don't, no crying, no moaning. We'll do it next season. So, yeah, we'll see you next week. Have a good week and goodbye.